To the good soldier. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. To stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, made all preparation to stand. Stand, therefore. Now, I want you to remain standing here for a minute. It took you and I at least a year or more to learn how to stand. Now, having had four children, I watched them go through all the stages of wiggling and squirming and rolling and crawling and eventually pulling themselves up and standing and falling and standing and falling and walking and falling and standing and falling. And just look at how good you're doing here this morning. Years later, after 1 year of training, you can now stand. Most of the time. Occasionally, you trip on something. Occasionally, you slip. Occasionally, you might fall over. But you're doing a good job. It took you over a year of basic training to learn how to stand. And I want to talk this morning and tomorrow morning about the good stand. The good stand. And so, in honor of what I'm speaking on, we're going to stand for the entire message this morning that I'm going to speak. Not. You may be seated. Why is this word found here four times? Why is against found here five times? The Christian soldier must stand against the enemy in hand-to-hand combat. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Have you had to wrestle yet today? Stand against to wrestle. Stand against to wrestle. Not human beings. This is a spiritual combat. It is hand-to-hand spiritual combat against principalities, against Satan and demons and foul spirits and unclean spirits and deceiving spirits. Now, Paul is very familiar with this concept of a soldier standing, not retreating, not surrendering, not giving in, not falling, not running, not giving ground, not retreating, standing firm, holding your ground. Now, the Roman legions were all over the world in Paul's day. We don't, traveling around here in Northam, we don't seldom see any soldiers standing. But in the land of Israel and in the Roman Empire, Roman legions were stationed everywhere. Seeing soldiers was a daily thing. He was actually a prisoner of the Roman legions in Caesarea for 2 years. He saw them all the time. He was guarded by soldiers standing guard. He was in Rome when he wrote this under house arrest, and there would have been soldiers standing guard at this house or in this house. Roman cohorts or legions or auxiliaries would be marching through the streets. This whole concept of standing guard and being trained to stand. Everybody knew about this. The Roman legions were the most effective military force the world has ever known. For over 1,000 years, Roman legions conquered the known world and guarded the known world. For over 1,000 years. There's never been a military force of legionnaires like the trained Roman soldiers, trained to stand and trained to fight in hand-to-hand combat. Legion had 4,000 to 5,000 men. Different times it might have been 3,000, might have been 6, but basically 4,000 to 5,000 men. The word legion means chosen men. Chosen men. At first they were volunteer citizens who chose to join the legion. Later in the Roman Empire they became conscripts that were chosen to join the legion. But the word legionnaire means chosen men, chosen ones. The legate was the commander of the legion. And the Roman soldiers had two, Roman legions had different formations, but two basic formations. One that's most famous, they took from the Greeks, it's called the phalanx. It was usually a square, a mass of men, shoulder to shoulder, shoulder to shoulder, shield overlapping shield, shield overlapping shield, man behind you, his shield touching your back, the man behind him, his shield touching that back. It was a wall of shields, it was a hedge of spears, because sticking out between the shields were their spears. It was a mass of men condensed together. It's a phalanx. The word phalanx actually refers to the bones in your hand or your feet. There's a bone right here. Bone here. Bone here. Bone here. And a bone here. There's five. Each one backing up the other. Each one connected to the other. Each one supporting the other. Each one effective in standing or fighting. The soldiers would stand in this phalanx with a wall of shields before them and the second row and third row and fourth row a wall of shields over them. Because they would often be attacked, first of all, by arrows. And the shields in front and shields over top of them would protect many of them from the arrows. Then these soldiers with spears, each one having a spear, a lance, the front row would throw them first and then raise their shield. The second row would then fire. The third row would then fire. The fourth row would then fire. And then every legionnaire took their sword because now it would be hand-to-hand combat, wrestling with the attacking troops. The most feared were the Germanic troops of Germany and Gaul, who were just a wild mass of barbarian men who attacked in such huge numbers, so fast, and with terrible, blood-curdling cries that hardly anyone could stand. But the Roman soldiers were trained to stand. No matter what came at them. No matter who came at them. And when one man fell in the front, the next man filled the gap and stood. And when someone else fell, someone else stood in the gap and they stood. And they wrestled with men to the death. In hand-to-hand combat. Paul says, Christian soldier, stand against the enemy of your soul and wrestle your enemy in personal, spiritual conflict. Pretty powerful. The other formation that they used was called the triplex. It consisted of a row of Roman legionaries. About 10 feet back, another row of legionnaires. About 10 feet back, another row of legionnaires. And these rows had breaks in them at certain places. Sometimes the front row would be a mile long. And the rows would overlap, so that where there was a gap, the second row was there to fill in that gap. It was called the triplex. And when the front line, if it started to break, the second line would immediately move up to form with the first line. But in behind these three lines, the reserves were kneeling on the ground or sitting. They did that so they would be rested, and so they couldn't see the carnage ahead. And at the commander's cry, when they were needed, these reserves would suddenly rise, rush forward and stand and fill in the gap and be part of the battle. And so Paul says to us, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I must learn to stand. And in the most evil of all days, when the attack is so strong, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and the Holy Spirit lifts up a standard, I need to be able to stand against and wrestle the enemy. The word stand is a military word. Speaks of formation. Speaks of a military formation. And it's a word that means to be firm, to be established, to hold your ground, hold your position, resist the attack. Stand against is to resist the attack. And tomorrow I will talk about James chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. Everybody knows verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee. But do you know what verse 6 says? Because if we do not obey verse 6, verse 7 will not work. And verse 8 is the follow-up. And so we are to stand and hold our ground, hold our position. This word is the active voice. It means the believer taking personal action against the enemy in the strength of the Lord. Remember the last message? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Draw your strength from God and your position in Christ. And now you stand against the enemy. This verse is not teaching us that God is standing against the enemy. This verse is not teaching, these two verses are not teaching that Jesus is wrestling with principalities and powers. Now, God does stand against the enemy. And God does fight the foe. But he does it through us. Because he did it 2,000 years ago at the cross. He stood. He stood against. He wrestled. He spoiled principalities and powers. He defeated them. Now we are to stand against principalities and powers in the strength of the Lord. And sometimes that means standing alone. When the formation breaks, when the phalanx dissolves, when the triplex falls apart, when the horde comes in, And there's no one else there but you. And you want to run. You want to quit. You want to surrender. You want to play dead. You want to just give up. In that evil day, you've got to learn to stand alone. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:16, "No man stood with me. All men forsook me." It's quite a verse, isn't it? It's just like a soldier scene where everybody else starts running and you're left alone. And then Paul said in the very next verse, he said this, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." It doesn't say the Lord stood against the enemy. It says the Lord stood with Paul so he could stand against the enemy. Now, I can't believe it's been over 20 years since Tiananmen Square. And that means that some of you guys were not even alive when this happened. 1989, 100,000 protesters in that great square in Beijing, China. Days and days of protests against the communist government. 100,000 protesters. The biggest protest ever held in China up to that time and since. And finally, the Chinese government, afraid that their nation would fall, sent in the military. Hundreds and thousands were killed. And out of that terrible, terrible massacre came this picture that you likely have seen. And it's of a young Chinese man. And Chinese guys aren't very big, usually. Standing in Tiananmen Square, all by himself. Everybody else has run. And four tanks are coming, one right after the other. And he stood there. And they came closer and came closer. And he didn't back off. He didn't run. He didn't fall. He didn't quit. He didn't put up his hands. He just stood there. And they came closer. And they came closer. And finally, at the last moment, the leading tank stopped. And the second tank stopped. And the third tank stopped. And the fourth tank stopped. And that picture is worth a billion words. One young man standing like David, with bare faith. And those tanks stopped. Now that's what this is talking about. It's easy to stand in a group. Well, I should say it's easier to stand in a group. But are you so committed to Jesus Christ that you will actually stand alone? Stand against. This word is found five times here. It's a preposition of direction. It is somebody who is focused against, leaning against, fighting against. You can see these Roman legionnaires who are fighting against the attacking horde. Focusing forward. Not focusing behind, not focusing off some other direction. Focusing forward for their commander. And wrestling. This actually goes in a picture change from a soldier to a Greco-Roman wrestler. I like to wrestle. Little people. Our sons were growing up in our home. We used to have wrestling matches every Sunday night after church. And I would wrestle all four of them. Well, eventually they all became teenagers at once. Well, not at once. They were all, eventually all four sons were in their teenage years, anywhere from 19 down to 13. We still wrestled a little bit. And I never had much time for it at that point, you see. And then as they got into their 20s and off to college, they'd still want to wrestle me. But I never really had much time for it at that point. But I kept reminding them that, you know, I can handle you guys easy. Now, there used to be a student here a number of years ago who always wanted to wrestle me. And I said, all right, someday we're just going to do it right out there in the lawn. We're just going to, oh, yeah, I'm going to wrestle. And I said, but you know, I said, look at me. I'm 50-some years of age. And if I throw you down, you know what that's going to mean in front of all your classmates? Do you know how that's going to be? Someone's going to get a picture of that? Do you know how people are going to talk about that? Do you know what that's going to do for your reputation for the rest of your life? After a while, he stopped saying, I want to wrestle you. I beat him. I can't beat most of you physically, but maybe I can still beat you here. Maybe not. It's the Greco-Roman wrestler who's trying to take the other man down or push him back out of his place. And that's what the enemy is attempting to do, is to take you and I down and to push us back out of our place and to take our place. Now, go back to chapter 4, where this is referred to. Because in Romans chapter 4, in a section of Scripture that is referring to fleshly sins, surprisingly, the Holy Spirit inserts a verse about Satan. You would think that all the things listed in these verses had to do with the old man, and they do. But he includes in verse 27 of chapter 4, he includes the devil, the outward enemy who works hand in hand with the inward enemy. They're buddies. They're buddies. Our sinful natures, our old self, the old man, that sinful power inside of us is in league with the wicked one outside of us. They work hand in hand. And it says, neither give place to the devil. And the context here is the old man. The context here is lust, lying, anger, stealing, corrupt speech, grieving the spirit. Don't let your old man join hands with the evil one and push you from your place. Take your place. Be controlled by the new man who resists the enemy. Now, this little verse is very important because the word place is a territorial ground. It's a territorial area. What happened in World War II is that American military and the British and the Australians started going through the Pacific Ocean capturing island after island after island. You can read about the island warfare. They started from Hawaii, and they wanted to gradually work their way, taking island after island after island until they got close enough that they could bomb Tokyo. So island warfare was a big part of the Pacific War. And what they would do is they would send in the Marines on these landing craft. They would bomb the island to smithereens, or so they thought. Then they would send the Marines in, and they had one goal. Take the beach. Secure the beach. It was called a beachhead. Get that beach and inland a little bit. Secure it, defend it, hold it, and then bring in all the supplies. And from that beach, go out that way, go out that way, go out that way, until you've worked your way over the entire island from the place that you have taken, the beachhead. That's exactly what this is talking about. The adversary is probing your defenses for a weak spot. Probing, probing, probing. To get a place in my life, and if he can get control of this corner or this beach or this little territory, that's not just what he wants. He wants to get that little spot that you give up to him. He pushes you back. And then he wants to move from that little spot to that spot and that spot and that spot and that spot until he wants to devour your life. But it all begins with taking the first place, throwing you down, pushing you back, and taking that corner. And then a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. So as I finish today, do you know this? Have you been aware of this? Do you think about this? Do you wonder what his strategy is? Do you know how he's trying to do it? Has he got a place that he controls in your life because you've been pushed back? Is he moving into other areas of our lives? Have you stopped standing? Stop fighting? You say, boy, I don't know anything about this. Then you're likely already defeated. If you're not aware of this, if you haven't learned this, if you don't know if you're wrestling principalities or powers or not, if you don't know this, you are a defeated carnal Christian. This stuff is of absolute necessity to win the victory through Christ. And I pray that you will let God search your heart to see if you're standing, wrestling, and to see if you've given up a place and he now controls that place. Because if he does, you need to stand against that place and make him flee. Lord, help us to allow your Holy Spirit to show us to convict us, to reveal to us. If the enemy has a place, maybe we're not even aware of it, show us it, Lord, that we might be able to stand in having done all to stand. Lord, help us to stand shoulder to shoulder for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.